the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour, broadcasting live once again from our studios, which are located here at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, on this Tuesday afternoon as we continue our live broadcasts from Baltimore and continue to develop this great theme of grace and the call of God. And we really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to join us live on the broadcast. Hope that you'll get a chance to stay with us for the full hour-long broadcast. We realize that many of our listeners here in the Baltimore area tuning in on WRBS, they join us live for the first half hour. And we do want to remind you that if you can make your way over to the internet, to gracehour.org, you can stay with us for that hour-long broadcast. And, of course, following the devotional message today, you can join us live simply by picking up a phone and dialing one of the following numbers. Toll free in North America, that number is 800-338-7060. And you can dial that toll free number anywhere in all of North America, Canada, together with the United States. And you can join us live on the broadcast with your comment or question. Perhaps a counseling need that we could assist you with today. A testimony that would encourage our listeners, a prayer request that you would like the body of Christ to join you in prayer with. Whatever the nature of your call, we look forward to having you join us. Again, quite simple, when those phone lines are open, pick up that phone, dial one of those numbers. The local number here in Baltimore, that's 410-483-3700. Of course, the invitation is wide open to those of you here in the local Baltimore area to join us as well. And we hope that many of you will do just that. So, again, welcome to those of you listening on WRBS locally here in Baltimore. And the welcome is extended to those of you live on the internet at gracehour.org and those of you that are listening and watching on Facebook Live and YouTube Live. We certainly do appreciate all of you joining us for our Tuesday broadcast today. Grace and the call of God. You know, it's interesting, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, Peter's first epistle, he says in verse 10, but the God of all grace, and what a great way to describe the nature of our God, all grace. You know, the nature of the law is one of making its demands upon those that are under its jurisdiction. But the nature of grace is all about the supply that God gives freely. And when it comes to extending grace to those that God is directing it toward, which is all of us, he is called the God of all grace. Not the God of some grace, but the God of all grace. And then together with the God of all grace, notice the second part, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. So the calling of God cannot be disconnected from the grace of God. We know this. Jesus said those words in John chapter 15, verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit would remain. You can see from that verse, as well as portions of Scripture found in Romans, the 5th chapter, where we read these words, while we were sinning, Christ died for us. Obviously, it was the grace of God that was manifest to us. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, for the grace of God hath appeared to all men. And that speaks of the fact that that grace is available to everyone. And that grace appeared to all men in the incarnation when Christ came into our world and took upon himself the form of sinful flesh. In his humanity, of course, together with his deity, but he did come. And again, it's appeared to all men. But then, that same grace can only teach those who belong to him, who have trusted that grace for their salvation. So, to try to separate the grace of God from the fact that that same grace has called us and summoned us and really equipped us for the work and the service that God has called us to, you can't separate those two. The 10th verse in Peter's first epistle in the 5th chapter goes on and says, and that after you have suffered a while, now this seems rather strange, you know, of course, God is the God of all grace. He's called us unto his eternal glory through Christ. And then suffering? Well, why is the suffering necessary? Why is it even included in this verse? Well, every believer realizes and understands that suffering, as a Christian, has a great purpose. And God doesn't waste any suffering in the lives of his children. All suffering, every moment of it, whether it's a brief period of time or a lengthy period of time, all has a great purpose. And what is that purpose? It's to perfect you, to bring you to a place of spiritual maturity, to establish you, to ground you, to strengthen you, to settle you. I mean, I think every believer, if they had a prayer from their heart, honestly before God, would say, Lord, I want you to do everything you can to bring maturity into my life, to establish me, to strengthen me, to settle me. And, of course, God says, well, I'm going to do that. I have a plan to do that. And it will require a measure of suffering. And who is to say how that suffering is meted out to us? Only God knows. But it's never without a purpose. It's always directed towards, again, the maturing of the believer and the strengthening of the believer. And to go through these things, while we go through them, may be rather difficult. There may be heaviness because of manifold trials, but we keep our eyes on the purpose. We realize that, yes, we're being tested and tried at any given moment, but we can still count it all joy because we know that when these things begin to happen in our lives, whatever the nature of that suffering or difficulty might be, it's got that purpose behind it. And again, it all begins because the God of all grace has summoned us. He's called us. So the grace of God and the call of God, they do go hand in hand. And when you think about the fact that while we were sinning, Christ died for us. While we were ungodly, he sought us out. While we were without strength, and that's amazing when you think about it, because sometimes we have this false notion and we start to think, well, perhaps God called me because of how strong I am. Well, he called us when we were without strength. He called us while we were actively sinning against him. He sought us and began to draw us to himself, even when we were his enemies. That's the grace of God, friends. And having paid such a high price to redeem us and to make us his own, and remember the scriptures do clearly teach that we are bought with a price. Now we have this great privilege, this great opportunity to glorify God in our bodies, in our minds, which belong to God. So this summons, this calling, well, behind it is the God of all grace. And what an amazing plan and purpose he has for each one of our lives. Sometimes it's clouded, sometimes it's obscured, sometimes we can't see it clearly. But as we just continue to move forward by faith, we can see the fog of in our minds kind of burn off, and we start to clearly comprehend and understand that God has this great plan, this great call. I mean, think about that. You have been called by God. You know, sometimes we wait for a phone call from someone that we deem important, somebody that we so much look forward to speaking to. We've all probably been in those situations where we're just at home or in our office waiting for the call. Well, the call from God has come into our lives. And grace initiated that call. And with grace comes God's great supply for every need that we will ever have. To be called of God is just such a great honor. It's almost unfathomable when we try to think about, you know, why, what was the motive behind that call. Well, you can only discover God's great love. God loved us. He so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. That's his grace. And that call came into our lives. And now here we are on the planet, not wandering aimlessly about, not, you know, making our way through the darkness of life. No, we have light. We have fellowship in the body of Christ. We have the promises of God. We have the call of God. And what a blessing that is. The grace of God brought it. The call of God has been given to each one of our lives. We've received that summons, and then we begin to see the purpose of God unfold in our lives, and it's all designed to mature us, to establish us, to strengthen us, to settle us, so that we can serve him and others in the world. Well, Pastor Schaller has joined us in the studio today, back from a conference in Paris, France, and we got a chance to watch some of that on the internet. It was a great time.
Yes, it was. It was really refreshing, very encouraging, anticipating Poland, Eurocon in March. I think it can really happen. We've gathered together. This is my second trip in a month where we went to Finland and then a few weeks later, Paris. And wow, when you know, if you have an old car and you put it in the garage for a couple of years, or you know, and you don't start it up, and then you do, and it's coughing and sputtering, and then it gets going. You know, do you know about that, Pastor?
Yes, yes. I've had a few of those in my lifetime.
But we have not been meeting, but unlike that car, we are running really good. Like brothers and sisters have been, there hasn't been any hiatus with the COVID because we just keep walking with God in our personal life. And then when we meet, it's like we've seen each other yesterday. Amen. And this is, I think my last time in France was 3 years ago, but it was like I was there yesterday. So that's a very good thing. I think Eurocon will be like that. We'll come together and just enjoy so much, like a family. We'll be together. So we're talking about calling and what you were sharing, Pastor Love, really has everything to do with God calling us, and it's a very real thing. The story I want to share is from Mark 10 in verse 46. Christ, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people blind, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he would hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. So from this story, I want to refer to our subject today, which is the calling. There is the universal call to all men, all women, all across the world through all time to come. Then there is that efficacious call, or that call that has that effect or that influence because the person is hearing or geared for it, ready for it, prepared for it. And here we have that case. Bartimaeus somehow is prepared. The son of David, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So you have two stories here. One, the sovereignty of God, Christ coming by in his plan, walking on the highway, and then Bartimaeus having premeditated who is Jesus, having heard about Jesus, somehow is prepared in his heart to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's the free will element where Bartimaeus is somehow being prepared in his heart, and he is receiving a calling. He is being called. They said that Jesus calleth thee, right? Be of good cheer, rise, he calleth thee. So what was going on in this story? Grace, God loving people, a blind man. Couldn't we say that all people are blind, spiritually blind? We are all blind. Sometimes I realize how blind I am. Even though we may be knowledgeable, it might be also there is a definite blindness. What do we really know about life? What do we really know about God? What do we really know about ourselves? What do we really know? In many ways, we're very proud about the things that we know, but maybe we are also missing the big story, the real issue, and that is God. The sinner is blind. He is saw it his own way. He is actually foolish. He actually has definite blindness. But even though this blind man, representing really all sinners in the world, has something else going on, and it is that he actually somehow has heard. He has ears to hear. Somebody maybe told him about Jesus. It's obvious he's ready. He says, Jesus, thou son of David. That was a unique title. Jesus, the son of David. Well, David is 1,000 years before this time, but Jesus is called the son of David. Another way of saying king, the king of the Jews, the son of David, the Messiah. Maybe another way of saying, I know the scripture. I've heard about you. I believe you are the son of David. I believe you are the Messiah. I believe you are the king of the Jews, the king of kings, even the king of all. This grabbed Christ's attention, and we read that in the text here. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, like quiet down. But Bartimaeus, we like his character because he's a bit feisty. He's persuaded. He's convinced. He's trusting. He's believing because the calling does do that to people. The calling does make us like, no, I'm not led away from him. I'm led to him. No, I'm not. I am a blind man, but I see. I see. And they said, no, quiet down. They said, hold your peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, even more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Even more, maybe. When the call of God is, when God is calling somebody, there is definitely a response to that. I'm not stopping. I really believe in him. And this is what we read here. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. I think it would take a great deal to have Jesus stand still. I think it wasn't just a common thing, a lot of noise in the street. I don't think it was just the yelling and the consistency there. I think it was that Jesus is spiritually alive and awake to the important things in life, and he loves to save souls. He loves to address people that are seeking. He loves to look for the humble. He loves to respond to the people that are calling out. And it says, they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Those are good words. He calleth thee. Be of good comfort, be of good cheer, rise, he calls thee. Of course he does. That's why he came. Of course. This is the union of two people, Christ and Bartimaeus. Regardless of the environment and regardless of any hardness in the religious soil, there is a life connection where the one that calls is being heard by a blind man who is actually seeing or hearing. He's already processed it in his heart. I believe that Jesus is the Son of David. And then in verse 50, he casting away his garment. Well, blind men don't usually cast away their garment. They hold tight because they're blind. They can't. They have feel. They use the feel for the, you know, they feel the garment. They hold it. Where's my garment? I need my garment. They sleep at night with a garment over them. If they cast it away, it's really giving up something. It's really surrendering. It's kind of a form of faith. I'm casting away my garment because when I go to him, I will come back seeing. When I go to him, I won't need this garment this way. I will be able to find it if I needed it, because I will be able to see. He casting away his garment was saying, I've got a new life. And he rose and came to Jesus. And remember, he is not seeing yet, but he has full confidence that if you follow Jesus, you will come away seeing. Yes. Verse 51. And Jesus answered, said unto him, what will you that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. These were words. It doesn't say Jesus spit on the ground. It doesn't say that he touched his eyes. He just said, what do you want? He said, go your way. Just go your way. Your faith has made thee whole. Calling, response, blind man, like all of us, casting away our garment. And maybe it could be compared to getting rid of just simply really everything. Just throwing away so much and saying, I can come back, but when I come back, I will be seeing. I could pick up the garment again. I could go buy another one. I could find another one. I'm okay. I don't have, you know, my life as I know it is one thing, but when I have a calling, I will have really everything I need, and I don't need to make up something. I don't need to find my own life. I have found him, and finding him, I have really found everything. That happens to us. When we have him, we really have everything. What will you that I do, O Lord, that I might receive my sight? He said, go your way. That's all. The calling is Christ calling us living in faith, and us coming away seeing and realizing that he is everything. We love him. We have found him, and we love him, and he is our everything. The title of our topic today is Grace and Our Calling, and this story is all about God's grace, about a blind man and him having a calling. He calls for you, he says in verse 49. Be of good cheer, rise, he calls you. If sisters and brothers listening to this program, do you realize you have a calling? Do you realize that God is one that provides for you? Do you realize that you have a future? Do you realize that you can throw your garment away? Do you realize that you are free? Do you realize that he cares for you? Do you realize that he is everything for you? You're everything you need. He is your love, your wisdom, your faith, your peace. He is your new life. And when you have that, then you have everything else that you need in life. The Holy Spirit is in you and with you. You've been called. You're different. God did it. And God is everything for us. Amen.
Amen. Great thoughts to get us started, friends, on this Tuesday afternoon. And this great theme of grace and the call of God. Yes, calling us to live by faith. Then our eyes are open. We see. And then he becomes our everything. Fascinating to think that this is the way God intended for us to live, to sense his grace, to see the fact that he's called us, and to acknowledge that he is our everything. It's incredible. So many blind people are still trying to make their way through the darkness of this life. And when they're successful, they think that that's the answer. When they finally get that big new home, they think that's the end. All of that leaves us just hungering and thirsting for something more. It's him. He's all we need. Well, that's the end of the first half hour, friends. We're going to wrap things up at this point and enter into the second half hour. Phone lines are open. Great opportunity for you to join us. Hope you'll take advantage of it. 800-338-7060, 410-483-3700. Stay with us if you can for the next half hour. For those of you that have to leave, we'll be back tomorrow. Join us then. We're back with you live, friends, at gracehour.org and, of course, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and the phone lines remain open. So here are those numbers once again, 800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number in all of North America. And right here in the Baltimore area, friends, you can join us at 410-483-3700. And we hope to hear from many of you. Take this opportunity and fill up the lines. Talk about the grace of God, the call of God upon our lives.
Well, let's ask Pastor Majek to give us a call, if he can, from Warsaw, and then give us a little prep for the Yurcon, a little shout-out. Pastor Love, as he might be doing that right now, let's think about this story and how many people maybe the garment is, they can't throw it away. They just say, I got to keep my garment just in case I'm not going to be healed, or just in case I'm not called. I got to have plan B. Plan B is, Jesus not showing up for me, not being good with his promise, not healing me. So I need plan B. We all have a plan B. But when it comes to calling, not thinking about it.
No.
And we know that God will be there for us.
Yeah. I mean, Bartimaeus, he cast away his garment, and the Samaritan woman at the well left her water pot. Mm. In both instances, they were leaving behind a life that could not fulfill them, satisfy them. A life where they were blind to the truth of who God was and what he could do for them. And all of that changed when he cast away that garment, when she left that water pot.
And Mary broke the box, the alabaster box. When she broke the box, I mean, there's no return. You can't go back. You jump out of a helicopter with a parachute on, guess what? You're not going back.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, that was plan B. Plan B is gone. There is no plan B.
There isn't any. It's just free fall.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a parachute, that's all.
Yeah, and that's exciting and adventurous when you think about it, because you're saying, in effect, I'm all in.
Yeah, I'm all in. I never had plan B. I mean, we don't have, you know. So the calling is a very real thing, and it's not like, you know, there are people that unfortunately, and you can't blame them, because plan B is like a big part of life for people. You can't blame them. It's kind of wise. Consider the ant, you know. Prepare, you know, to meet God. You know, there are things that do take preparation and are important. But in this story, we see this like flinging away, like flinging it away because he calls for you. And the people that said, be of good cheer, he calls for you, they're also saying, like you got, hey, you won. He's calling you, you know. Like, you can't get any better than that. Be of good cheer. He calls for you, you know. That's like when you're on the inside of the group, you're saying, hey, listen, you got it. He wants you. You know, he's waiting. He's standing here. He's waiting, and he calls for you. So that's like, I like to think that Jesus is saying, you know, I would go all the way to you, but I know what's in your heart. You're able to come to me. So I'm standing waiting, but I'm calling you, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus could have walked over to him, but instead he stood still. Because, you know, when you have a calling like that, that can happen that way, that you go to him by faith. You go to him, you're blind, but you've seen something with spiritual eyes, and you're able to go to him without him having to come to you, you know?
Yeah, well, that might help to answer the question that Suzette posed today, which is from Matthew 22:14, when Jesus said that many are called, but few are chosen. I mean, we talked about this, I think, a week or two ago, about the sovereignty of God and the free volition of man. But that pretty well describes what you just described, describes how sometimes God operates. He calls for you. Okay, now take that step of faith. He's here. And you know, I think it's one of the other Gospels, maybe Luke's Gospel, that records the same story, but it includes some more detail. And one of it was that the disciples tried to silence him, say, like, you know, quiet down. And maybe, who knows, we can only speculate, but what if some of them said, look, he has a busy itinerary as we pass through Jericho. If you just wait, on our way back, we'll get you.
Okay.
But he would never pass that way again.
Okay.
And you can just see, you know, he keeps crying out all the louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He would not let that opportunity pass him, even though the disciples said, maybe you should wait. Get him another time.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, it's scary to think that I have limited, you know, it might not happen. I think of people that put it off, and the voice of God gets more dimmer. The light is dimmer. The voice is not as audible. And, you know, maybe I should act while I have the opportunity, right?
Yeah.
And believe now and call out to him now. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you want to comment on that, the Son of David title, Pastor Love?
Well, yeah. I mean, if that directly related him to being the Messiah. And again, in the other gospel, I believe it's Luke's gospel, he asked, who is this? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth. But he did not cry out, Jesus of Nazareth. He cried out, Son of David. And how many people spoke to Jesus using that name?
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody that we know.
Nobody that we know.
But let's park there for a second. Did blind Bartimaeus, when he heard about Jesus, like nobody told him, he is Jesus, Son of David. But Bartimaeus, Did he meditate? Did he worship God? Did God tell him, Jesus, son of David? That Bartimaeus had a, did he have it in the Holy Spirit in his meditation? Did he talk to somebody, like, you know how blind people can be on the street, squatting down, like, in their corner or somewhere, and talking to a friend and finding out everything he can about Jesus of Nazareth? And as the friend is telling him about miracles or about multiplying food or the followers of Jesus, that Bartimaeus is in his meditation, it's coming to him with other eyes. He has physical eyes, he's blind, but in his ears are open, and God is telling him he is the son of David.
Yeah, I think that had to be the case.
Yeah.
You know, based upon what he had been hearing and what people were saying, he made that conclusion. This is not just someone from Nazareth. This is the son of David, which, again, directly links him to the Messiah.
And didn't that title catch Jesus's ears with, like, pleasant, like, reception, and say, stand still? Jesus stood still, and he said, call him.
Wow.
Call him, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, these words, this title resonates with Christ, that this man has faith, that he's seen something, he knows who I am. We are on the same page. He thinks like I do. He's in the truth, and so call him. And I'm here waiting for him, and he will be coming.
Yeah.
He will be coming with faith, and it brings Jesus pleasure that a blind man is able to see even better than seeing people.
Amen.
Who were the Pharisees.
Yeah, they could see.
They could see, but they were blind. This blind man is blind, but he is seeing.
And that garment, you know, those garments, they had those long flowing garments, which sometimes could easily trip you up. And I could just imagine him saying, I don't want anything to slow me down or to get in my way from keeping me to the one who will give me sight.
Okay, yes. And also, I don't need it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I don't
amen.
Need it. Should we take that call from Pastor Matti?
Absolutely. Pastor Matti Servio is joining us. I'm not sure from what part of the world, but good to have you here in the Grace Hour. Welcome.
Hi, it's Pastor Maciek from Warsaw, Poland.
Oh, sorry.
Maciek, okay.
Pastor Maciek, it came up on our screen as Pastor Matti, but, oh,
that's
Pastor
great.
Maciek.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Oh, thank you for calling.
I heard this calling saying, call me, but I called.
You heard the calling. Amen. Dzień dobry.
Very good. Very good.
So tell us, Pastor, how are the plans looking for Eurocon in March, and just fill us all in and our listeners about what's planned and what's coming.
Well, we can't wait. I mean, we're working hard, but everything is getting ready. So red carpet is almost ready, prepared for you.
Very good.
I mean, we so much need those kind of times that we can get together. Because, you know, as you know, meeting online is better than nothing, but it's nothing better than to meet in person.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, I saw that. I was in Paris this past weekend. I was so happy. People are so loving, very humble, very receptive. We just wanted to be like family. A family get together and haven't seen each other for a couple of years, and just being together, it was great. So I really believe Eurocon is going to be like that. We're just going to show up, and the Lord is there with us. And we've learned a lot in the last couple of years, so we can talk about it. We can, what is God showing us? What's our future? What are some new places? What are things that we've learned, and what we can, how we can help other people? So that'll be happening for those 5 days in Warsaw with Pastor Maciek. behind it all, helping, working, making it happen. Do you have people calling you, Pastor Majek, and asking questions? Yeah.
Yeah, there are some people. Because, you know, it's good to know that this year Eurocon is free, that anyone can. But it's good to register online that we will know how many people will come to get ready everything for everybody.
Yes.
So,
and what are the
go to website.
What about the restrictions for coming into the country?
I mean, it's pretty much the same like in whole Europe. That's my belief and my prayer is that they will take off all these restrictions. Like some countries in Europe already did this since February 1st. So hopefully everything will be over till March.
Yes.
So we will gather together.
So then
maybe... Right now you can come, yeah.
Yes.
You can come with the negative test to Poland for now, but everything changes. So hopefully everything will be over.
Yes. Maybe even that changes some, maybe. But if we don't want people, of course, to go positive, but so you get a negative test and you get on the plane, you go to Poland, go to Eurocon. And we really look forward to, and then of course prayer. I mean, what if the event is just saturated with prayer, and everything we hear, all the people we see, the love in our hearts, and the future, the vision for reaching the world with the gospel, that being refreshed in that. You know, being encouraged in that. We have a new team in Colombia, Latin America, South America. We have the work that is going on in Izmir. We have Singapore happening in February. In a few weeks, the Plunkets are going to Singapore to start a new church. We have Pastor Mati and the whole vision for Dubai. What will happen there? We want to hear about that, and then just little cluster groups of Christians meeting together, praying together, loving each other, and looking forward to what can happen by us gathering and praying and going.
How can our listeners find out and register for the conference, Pastor?
You can just go to website. It's ggwoeurocon.eu, and then you can register. You can find the latest information about COVID restrictions, about hotels, and everything is there.
Mm-hmm.
ggwoeurocon.eu.
.eu. Perfect. And the dates? Give us the dates.
15th, 19th of March.
15th through the 19th. Well, you heard the call, Pastor Majek. Thanks for answering and responding.
I leave everything behind me and just run to the phone call.
Amen. there's a lot of us that look forward to seeing you and gathering in your country, in your city, the city of Warsaw, for the Eurocon conference. It's coming up. Well, just a little over a month, right?
Yeah, it's 42 days.
Who's counting?
42
you are.
Days. Wow. 42 days.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, that'll be awesome time. We believe for great things.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate the call. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number, and the local number is 410-483-3700. George has been waiting to join us. George, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love, Pastor Schaller. Yeah, that was a beautiful hearing from Pastor Majek from Poland. Wow, it's exciting. You know, but I'm calling just to say, Pastor Schaller, it's good to hear your voice. I love you. And I just got a little quick testimony and then a prayer request. The testimony is I was riding home with, you know, Rodney, who I bring to church on Sundays, you know, and he loves you dearly. And we're in the car, and it just touched my heart when he said this. He said to me, he says, Georgie, is Pastor Schaller ill? I said, no, I don't think so, Rod. I said, I think I remember him saying he might travel at the end of the month. He says, because, Georgie, if he's ill, you tell, I'll visit him, Georgie, I'll visit him. And that just blessed me so much when he said that, Pastor Schaller. It was so sweet, you know. And, you know, I just, you know, wanted to call and tell you I love you. And of course, Rodney loves you, brother. He loves you. And on the prayer request end of it, we have some body members right now that you've known for years. I can't put, you know, the names out because it will be, you know, it's confidentially, in the sense that they're involved in a real estate deal right now, right at this very moment. And I would ask that you would just pray for them. You know, God knows who they are. You'll know who they are. I can call you after the show, tell you who they are. But right on the broadcast, I don't think it would be proper. So I would really appreciate a prayer for that real estate deal involving these members in particular in our body. Okay. And that's it. Love
you. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yeah, Lord, we do pray for those needs and that real estate undertaking by whoever this may be. Lord, you know, and they're looking to you, we're looking to you, and we're believing that they have the very best outcome possible, and that you would grant them the desires of their hearts as they continue to delight themselves in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, George. Still have time to take your calls, friends. A little less than 15 minutes left in the program, 800-338-7060. And the local number right here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700.
Best of love when I just heard George, share that. It sounded like he's from New York. He has a little bit of a gravelly voice, you know. I'm thinking of the underworld. And he's saying, Pastor Schaller, you know, this real estate deal might go sideways. And I'm thinking, like, you know, what are we talking about?
Right.
You know, it's like, is it done in the light, or are we talking about a back room deal or something? George has got a cigar and he's talking about it. You know, we might have a problem on the east side.
Just call it for the family to be aware of it.
It's like code for let the family know that it might go bad.
Who do we have to see?
Yeah.
Who do we have to visit?
You know, is Pastor Schaller available?
Oh, well, thank God it's nothing like that. I don't think he felt at liberty to mention people's names without you know, giving him permission to do so. It's kind of funny, though.
Yeah, like the Godfather.
Yeah. Well, that's George, you know. I mean, he is right
Brooklyn,
out of New York City.
Yeah.
Okay. Friends, you can join us at 410-483-3700 as we continue to discuss this theme, the grace and the call of God. And I understand that was also the theme to some extent in Paris, correct?
Yes, Titus 2:11-12, the grace of God that's appeared unto all men teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And we had messages on that subject, and Pastor Boyce shared, Pastor Texier, and we had raps. Dominique was with us. He's an incredible brother. Enjoyed that time. It gave his testimony. Wow, just a heart for God. And Pastor Texier's amazing faithfulness through the decades, I mean. And then the prayer for the building. Actually, I'd like to call them now after the show, maybe, and find out how it went. But they're trying to get a building in Paris for the church, you know. So That would be an incredible answer for God to honor them because of their faithfulness. You heard Pastor Carl's testimony from Wilmington today in the staff meeting, and the brother that visited said, the thing that I'm amazed at regarding this church is the faithfulness of the people. Mm-hmm. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was a good
great.
Word.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say the same about the French, the faithfulness of those people, and then in Finland, I mean, the faithfulness of those people. Sunday night, just those that haven't heard yet, but on our website, you can see the Sunday night service here with the students who shared, and there were two of them were Hungarians, another group of faithful people, and there was Jan Boer and Han Anna. And around the world, and there are many around the world, Lee's here from Montreal. I mean, around the world, you could say, how does this happen? But it's just a faithfulness of God in showing us how to live and trust him.
Mm, it's amazing. Yeah. These are lots of people who have cast aside their garments too.
Yeah.
And that kind of a question came to my mind. Do you think that some people, do you think they hold on to their garments? I mean, is it possible that you could come to Christ but still have plan B in your back pocket? Thinking maybe, well, what if it doesn't work out? What if it doesn't meet my needs? What if it's not all that some people have told me that it's cracked up to be? Is it possible that you could do that and then fall back on that when it all doesn't, you know, turn out the way you imagined it would or hoped it would?
Yeah, sure. Sure. I'm thinking of a lot of different things at the moment. One thought I had was about the woman with the alabaster box, and this is years ago when I was in Europe and preaching on it. I remember I had this thought that the woman breaks a box of ointment, pours it all out in Jesus, all gone. 5 years later, she's in poverty, and she opens a cupboard, and the broken bottle or the fragments are there, or, you know, the whatever it was, the alabaster box. What do you think that box means? Is that a clay vessel or something?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, just a container that's disposable. But let's say she could say, I really need that perfume right now. I wish I had not done that, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. And you're asking me, could that happen?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, yes, I think it could.
Yeah, because sometimes we...
You kind of have to be guarded for that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in that place where... I would say, I wish I hadn't gone to Bible college.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I had not gone to church as much as I had.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had not spent my time reading the Bible as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
Or I wish I had not done, you know, evangelism or something. Like, I don't want to be in that place.
No.
I don't care who you are, but you could be. That's Malachi. Actually, there are verses for that. There's Malachi 3. Where it says, you call the proud happy, and you say, I have served God in vain. And that's also Psalm 73. This is what the psalmist is smote his heart to think. He said, my feet had almost slipped, that I thought I have washed my hands in vain. You know, meaning that I have lived a godly life, but it has benefited me nothing. Like, that's a very, very, very wrong way of thinking.
Yeah.
So you got to say, I'm in it.
Yeah.
Win or lose or draw or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm in it. I want this. And God, I believe God will help me so I don't think like that. That's like really an evil thing. And that's Malachi 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a brother recently sent a note to me and said in it, as he closed his note, his letter, he said, my hand is still firmly on the plow.
Beautiful.
No looking back.
Yes.
Because looking back potentially can lead to going back.
Right? Yes, it can. Well, let's say it another way. Just think about it. Can a man get married years later, 10 years later, he's in an argument with his wife, and he could say, I wish I had never married you. Can a man do that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have to realize that you are married to God and that you will never do that. Because God is not a man that you would do that. I could see a man being disappointed in a marriage that is a disappointment, but I can't see a man disappointed with God. Do you follow
yeah,
that?
Yes.
Like, I can see us disappointed with each other, but get it in your mind, you can never be disappointed with God. You know, that's the story of Jesus on the cross. Like, you have forsaken me, my God, why have you forsaken me? But verse 4 says, but our fathers trusted you in the wilderness. This is Psalm 22. This is the mind of Jesus. Like, you have forsaken me, but our fathers trusted you, and you delivered them. Mm-hmm. And that's another way of saying, you have forsaken me, but I trust you.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, wow. I will never be disappointed with you. You can kill me, but I will never be disappointed. I know who you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Amen.
I think that's a message. You can preach that on Sunday morning.
We have indeed put our hands to the plow. No looking back. Cast away that garment. Leave the water pot behind. God has a calling upon our lives. And His grace, well, that the promise from God is His grace will be sufficient for all of our needs. And some of those needs can be at times overwhelming, but the promise from God is clear. There will never be any challenge that His grace is not more than sufficient for. Well, friends, thanks for joining us. We are out of time, and we appreciate all of you. Dominique weighed in and sends his greetings to you, Pastor Schaller. Blessed to see you in Paris.
It was fun.
Get to know you more.
It was a joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to know him, too.
Yeah, great brother.
What a precious heart. Amen. Beautiful. Absolutely.
And A.V. Altman says, never disappointed with God. Amen and amen.
Yes.
And on that note, we'll sign off today, friends. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow for the live Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour, and we invite you to join us then and hope you'll plan to be there. Until then, may God bless you.
For listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.